On today's Restump podcast, we'll look back at the win on Sunday afternoon against the Richmond Tigers, the reigning premier. Richmond Tigers by our young Dockers. It was retro round, and Frio Dockers knew how to do it properly. We'll get to talking about it with the Chief right after we start wearing purple with Gogo Bordello.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish, I promise. It's just a matter of time, so yeah.
Welcome to the Restump Podcast. My name is Brett Jojo McDonnell, and I'm joined by a man who watched last week's game dressed up as Jared Neeson. That is Greg Chief Dwyer.
Yes, hello Jojo.
You had that little tuft of hair in the middle of your head.
I did. I had to tap myself with the shaver to style it. So I went full on, Jojo. Went full in.
Mate, how good's retro round?
It's good, isn't it?
It was built for Frio, I reckon.
I think it actually is. I think you might be right. And I think we'll get onto it a little bit later, but I think the AFL wanted to be part of our Frio retro round as well. So, but it is. It's everything, isn't it? It's the nostalgia, the whole production. It's just so good.
Your mate JC got stuck into me for saying, you know, I like the jumper. He didn't like the jumper. He doesn't like the anchor. I love the jumper. I think the jumper's great. I don't think we need to see it every week, like some people have suggested, but, you know, seeing the anchor back is quite nostalgic.
Hey, who got stuck into you?
You know, on Twitter, your mate, JC. You didn't? Oh. Because I said I like the anchor on the angle with the 3D kind of effect on it.
Oh, yeah, you're the one. You're the one who likes that. Nobody likes that. No wonder he got stuck into you. Jeez.
Lucky he didn't see us at the game on Sunday, because he probably gets stuck into me for spousal abuse because I made Chloe wear it.
You did not. Did Chloe wear it?
All three of us. We went in Team Dockers outfit. I wore the three-quarter sleeve Justin Longmuir jumper. Sonny had his little jumper on, and Chloe wore the 3D anchor.
Wow.
It looked great.
Yeah, so if you come down out of your ivory tower seats and join the rest of us, Jojo, we might get to see you more often. But we can't. Us true Docker folk, we can't get up to those VIP lounges where you sit. So
yeah, right. Right. No, but the players got around it as well. They loved it. I think it was Sarong on Instagram posting a photo with himself and Chera and Brayshaw saying how much they love the jumper. Oh, it was good.
It was good. I didn't like. You were texting. All you could, as good as the day was, all you could focus on, that there wasn't the where was your inflatable shipping container. You didn't like that, did you? That wasn't there.
No, but I'm happy. We got the rock and the anchor.
Yeah, that was good.
Bring that back. Bring that back every week.
Yeah, that was good.
Huh? I miss that. I reckon that was great. And what harm does it do doing that before the game each week?
No, it was gimmicky. It was great.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah,
everyone needs a gimmick.
Oh, I loved it.
I'll tell you the other thing as well. Like, the Frio faithful, they've not thrown anything away over the years. We've had 25 years of merchandise, and it's just remained in the cupboard. The amount of the woolen jumpers, the parachute material jackets,
yeah.
You know, the old scarves and beanies, they were all out in force on the weekend.
The bomber
jackets. It's pretty awesome to see.
Yeah. It was great.
I reckon our colours, the red and the green and the purple in combination, really provide for some great retro stuff.
It does, doesn't it? It actually does. I love it, but I wouldn't wear it.
What?
I'm not wearing colourful stuff. But it's great. It's great to see. And I think it's I think you might be mistaken. I think all those people that wore that stuff wasn't in the cupboards. That's just their usual daily get-up, Jojo.
There's nothing wrong with that.
No, that's right.
Nothing wrong with that at all.
No,
exactly. But it was a bit strange. How come Richmond was wearing their home kit? Shouldn't they be wearing the away jumper? I never understand this. Do you just wear the away jumper when it clashes?
I don't know how it works, but I thought that too. We had to wear the white shorts. And, it was very, very odd. But I think the Melbourne club, they get to pick and choose, Judge. I think that's how it works. So,
The other strange thing about our kit was I think we wore the away socks with the home jumper.
How did you know that?
Oh, I didn't pick that up. That was, who said that on Twitter? Corbin. That was Corbin Midamas. He noticed that. But when I looked at the socks, I was like, those socks don't look right. But yeah, so there was a strange combo. They didn't get it 100% right, but you got to give them 8 or 9 out of 10.
But I think that's part of it.
For the kit.
I think
what's
that's
that?
Part of well, retro just, round. We just get it so horribly wrong, but it always seems so right.
Speaking of getting it wrong, whoever lights up the Matagorda Bridge after the each game at Optus Stadium, when we left, and Chloe was the one that noticed it, lit up in blue and canary yellow.
Yep.
How disappointing was that?
Yeah, it was a bit disappointing, but do you know what? They've had a pretty rough run of late, you know, JoJo. Their fans are very brittle. So who knows what they would have done if they weren't referenced in or spoken about, you know, in the glow of our joy. I think they might have jumped off that bridge. So,
careful.
So I'm okay with it. You can't, you know. Who knows what they would have done?
I reckon one person that would have been quietly a little bit pleased that that happened would have been Rita Saffiotti. I reckon she took the opportunity to make sure the lights got corrected and made a point of it online.
Did she really?
Yeah, but that's all right. I don't mind. That's good, isn't it?
I love
got
that.
Got it fixed. It was fixed pretty quick.
That's great. She would have loved that, wouldn't she? I'll get one here.
Yeah,
good on her.
And it was kind of fitting in retro round that all this stuff happened. And then on the AFL app following the game, the AFL app had the score listed as Freo 42 and Richmond 51. So
yeah, this
in
is
true retro style, they just didn't want to give us the win.
No, and this is what I mean. Like, this is what I was saying earlier. Like, the wrong scores, that's nothing new. We've been copping that for years. But I reckon the AFL in that dockery manner wanted to insert themselves into Freo's retro round by doing that. I think it was deliberate. Okay, I reckon it was deliberate. It was guilt.
So it wasn't retro round just by name. It was retro round by nature as well.
Wasn't it? It really was. So I loved it, Joe. I love everything about it. And I look forward to it again next year.
Onto the game just passed us by this week. Seems no one wants to grab a hold of that 7th and 8th spot on the ladder, really, does it? I mean, the results over the course of the weekend, St Kilda gets done by Carlton. Who else? It was the Giants. They went down, did they? They went down to Port Adelaide, which is kind of understandable. Richmond, who said, look out for the last 7 weeks of the season, whoever's going to play us, lost to us. Essendon went down to the Swans. West Coast, and very predictably, got thumped by Collingwood.
Wow.
But it's just these last two spots on the ladder, and particularly this 8th spot, seem to have been up for grabs now for about 2 months.
It has been. How many times have we said?
And it's so off and on, and the performances. It seems like you're getting with 11 wins now.
You could. I tell you what, I reckon you would. I reckon, 11 wins, 44 points just about get you in. This is it. The universe has been delivering us endless opportunities, Jojo. And I think on yesterday we took one of them. We need another two. Maybe we need to win all three. But
unless we really thump a team, our percentage is going to mean we're going to need three. No, I think
all three. Yeah, but it's just bizarre. Our season has been dead and buried 8 times, and it just keeps coming back. So that's great. That's keeps us alive, keeps us interested. And it puts emphasis into
it. I really like JL's comment after the game where, you know, all the commentary from the journalist straight up was, you know, how happy he'd be back in the 8. And he was kind of nonplussed about it. You know, he says it's nice for the fans and it is nice for us to be in the 8. But for him, it was just, you know, it's a result of the process. So, you know, it's nice to see that they're not solely focused, or at least outwardly solely focused, on getting a finals berth for however that looks.
That's just trying
for
to be
marketing and PR. It's just, you know, let's just be the best we can be each week.
No, that's not it. That is just trying to be cool.
Is it?
It absolutely is trying to be cool.
You're not buying it.
I'm not buying that one bit. That is the players that he's played when we, you know, over the journey that we've thought they're injured, he's played them. He wants to be that coach, and good on him, and I'm with him, that gets us to finals. First time since 2015, he wants that.
Okay, well, with that in mind, then, because you know he did probably push Fife a little bit longer than what he should have.
Yep.
And then looking back on it, if Lobb's had this kind of ankle injury that's been niggling away at him for weeks and weeks and weeks, yep. like maybe Lobb got pushed a little bit further than what he should have.
Yeah. Definitely.
On the weekend, our future stood up right in front of our eyes, and they led the charge for us, didn't they? I mean, there was no need to worry about playing injured players. Just give, you know, our existing young players more responsibility and they'll handle it. Yeah, 67.3 right. games of experience, second youngest team on the weekend.
Yeah.
And they took care of business.
It was so good to see. And, you know, to see those guys all work together and succeed as a group, you know, when they were wholly responsible for the result, that's so exciting, JoJo. You know, I mean, had we won that game with, you know, with a Fife, a Walters, a Pearce and a Lobb, it would have been well received, no doubt, obviously. But it would not have been as meaningful, you know. You can see that foundation there now of a serious side that we just have to build correctly around it. They're there. Those serious players are there and we just have to take advantage of it. But it was just to see them do it, like they thrived on that responsibility. Whereas before, in previous times, we probably thought they'd been a bit overwhelmed when they haven't had a Fife there to protect them or whatever. They just grew a leg. They just thrived on it. That was what was exciting.
Do you think the thought now, you know, like it's well known, everyone knows Fife's not coming back this year. Walter's been said, you know, he's probably out for the season. Lobb's out for the season. You know, even Alex Pearce out for, you know, this week with concussion. So there's a lot of experienced heads missing.
Yeah.
So it's very much, you know, letting him off the leash. There was no one there really, and there's no prospect of, you know, most of those guys coming back this season. So it's either stand up and own it or, you know, be exposed for not being the player that we thought you were. And these guys did it. And I think it goes to show you that maybe we, going forward, we just have to be a little bit more ballsy with our selection.
Yes.
You know, we've got to put these guys in positions of responsibility, maybe a bit quicker, and put our future in their hands and give an opportunity to deliver for us, because they delivered in spades on the weekend.
Well, they did, and it's that high-end draft pick caliber of player that you can load up with responsibility. You know, I mean, you've got to judge each case on its merits, but you're right. These guys have got the capabilities. They're high draft picks for a reason, you know, and you it's hard to become a high draft pick as well if you haven't got that ability to carry some level of responsibility as well. So you're right. You've got to give them the opportunity, you know, and it's that sink or swim, you know, early on mentality, because look what we saw.
This game, you know, whilst it wasn't pretty to watch, and you could say, you know, the skills were lacking, and maybe that's due to the conditions. Who knows?
Mm.
Whatever the case was, though, that last couple of minutes of the game, the heat was on. Richmond were coming. You know, it was an intense contest, and that was the kind of environment that it's so great that all those guys got exposed to. And I just thought, across the board, you know, you think about Brayshaw, his defensive pressure, just winning the ball back constantly.
Yeah.
And then, I don't know, but, you know, Hayden Young's play just stands out in my mind. You know, he's such a young guy and he's played so few games. Just really, really, really good composure with ball in hand when it mattered. I mean, he made a couple of blues. Did he set up Schultz again this week? I think Schultz got bulldozed under a bit of a hospital kick from Hayden Young. But, man, some of those kicks he was making, you know, that one, the other one where he crossed the ball into the middle of the ground in between about three or four Richmond guys and hit a Freo Docker right on the chest.
Mm.
You know, heart in the mouth kind of stuff when the man in green's trying to bite off that kick. But, you know, when you see it's him, you just felt fine.
Oh, it just, honestly, that Hayden Young, that game, it just blows you away to see those type of skills, those skills that we've forever been starved of. You know, he's like
Well, and to be fair, we would continue to be starved off them if you were chairman of selection, because you would be having him down at Rushton Park or wherever David Gray's arena playing for Peel Thunder.
Yes, but maybe
not even playing for them.
All good things come to those who wait. You know, I was prepared to wait to 2022. Happy to see him that JL didn't listen to me. Very happy. He's like, I'll tell you what he's like. Hayden Young, with his skills, he's like a sniper with his kicks. He caters for the wind, the air temperature, the altitude, the barometric pressure. You know, his composure and his control and the penetration in his kick and his pinpoint accuracy. Judge, he could get a girl pregnant from 25 metres. You can't say that. Don't be saying things like that. But it's just that he picks off the, he puts people into space, you know, and he just
well some of his kicks as well tells his teammate where to run to.
That's what I mean.
He's like, I'm going to kick it here. You go get
you it. Go get
like, it. He identifies where the space is, and you can see the game unfolding in front of him really well.
And they don't.
And he's got the skills to carry it off.
They don't have to break stride. You know, it's so exciting just to see, you know, what we knew he had. To see him do
it. I think the other thing, it takes a bit of pressure off Luke Ryan as well. And I think also taking the ball out of Wilson's hands, if we can do that a bit. Don't have a crack at him, but like I'm a bit of a fan of someone with a little bit more, let's lower the eyes and hit up a target rather than belt the ball 55, 60 meters and see what happens.
Yeah.
I think you can see the difference already.
Yeah.
You know, when Young and, you know, Luke Ryan had 27, Young had 23.
Mm.
If they're the guys that are distributing the ball off halfback a little bit more, I think we're in better hands.
You're in pretty good shape when you got a guy like him, especially like Hayden Young, doing that. Very, very good.
And then I think the exciting thing is, I mean, Chapman's not a, you know, the same player as Hayden Young, but, I mean, he's got the skills and he's got the composure to play in a similar vein.
Yep.
So, we add him back into the mix next year, a year under his belt. Hopefully, he can get through a second season injury-free. It's pretty exciting, that half-back line, and it becomes incredibly difficult, even more difficult than what it was at the start of this year, to choose a back six.
Absolutely, yeah. It's we've got a, I think a little bit later, I've got a group of you know, these type of players that we'll read out in just a couple of little stats, but it's exciting across the board. When you see a game like yesterday, it is absolutely exciting across the board for what we've got going forward, if we get it right in the next draft or two.
The way Richmond play, I mean, they've been known for years now.
Hmm.
They've been a highly successful team, obviously.
Yep.
And they bring that pressure, that manic pressure to the ball. You don't have a minute or a second to think about what you want to do. You've pretty much just got to hand pass the ball over your head or throw the ball in your boot,
yep.
Get rid of it. I thought we did so well on the weekend at being able to recognize a teammate that wasn't 1 or 2 meters away and take the easy give and just give the ball hot potato and put someone else under pressure. We were making handballs that were 4, 5, 6 meters and getting some width on the ball and getting the ball out in space and really making their pressure less of an issue.
Yeah.
And then on the other side of the ball, I thought our defensive effort was huge, especially the midfielders. I think, you know, the forwards were better, but I don't think they were, you know, they weren't, you wouldn't describe them as manic, but I think you think about our midfielders, you know, Mundy was huge, Brayshaw was huge. We kicked 4 goals 7 to 2 goals 3 off turnovers, and that's Richmond's game. We smashed them.
Is that what we kick? 4 goals 7 off turnovers, do we?
Yep.
Far out. Of Richmond. And you're dead right. We beat them at their own game. That's incredible.
So, I think to put in that side that we did, and look, we all know the players that are missing from Richmond, but have a look at the players that are missing from us. I think, you know, kind of, well, I would say it kind of levels out.
Yeah.
But you look at the young guys we had out there, to be able to do that, you know, to defend that strongly and then match Richmond.
Yeah.
You know,
to be,
you could say we could beat Richmond at, like you said, beat Richmond at the way they play is really, really, really encouraging.
It is. Richmond are a shell of their former self. They're nowhere near, they haven't got the hunger level that they've had during their dynasty and whatnot. But they still should have beaten us yesterday, and it was our doing that they didn't, not their doing, if that makes sense.
The thing that stands out this week compared to the last few weeks, we were able to get our hands on the footy. You know,
yep.
In the last few weeks, we've been outpossessed by our opponents, you know, by 70, 80 possessions each week.
Mm.
This week, you know, we were right level with them. I think it was 367 each.
Yeah.
And, you know, we still kind of lost the uncontested possession, but it wasn't as big a gap as what it has been in the past. We got on the outside ourselves, and I think that, you know, just looking at the ground, and we'll speak about him a little bit later, but, you know, Liam Henry starting up on the wing gave us really good width.
Yep.
I thought the guys that we had out on the wing and the flanks really held their width and depth in defence and gave us a real avenue to switch the ball out of that side.
Mm.
So, yeah, it was really good. I spoke about him before, Andy Brayshaw, 39 touches. He really dominated the game, didn't he? And, you know, the 39 touches doesn't even really say it all. It was his leadership. It was his defensive effort. 12 tackles. Like he hasn't played a better game than that.
No, he went beyond anyone's realistic expectations, Jojo. As you said, 12 tackles, 8 clearances to go with his 39 touches. He's 22 years old. You know, you can't talk about, after that game yesterday, you can't talk about Sam Walsh now without Brayshaw in the conversation. That was how good that game of his was yesterday. So it's just, it's frightening that he's 22 years old doing that. You know, that just shows us where we are for the future, doesn't it?
And I think also, and like not knocking anyone else in this regard, but himself and then Caleb Sarong, to see how invested they are when we have that success and when you see how much it means to them, you know, Sarong kicked that goal and all the boys get around him. Like those guys want to be here. They want to drive success for us. So I think that's the most exciting thing for Freo fans is that we've got these high level mids, these high level footy players. They're from Melbourne. All we hear about is, you know, the go home factor. These guys aren't going home.
No, not like,
Brayshaw's not going anywhere.
Brayshaw and Sarong, you wouldn't think so, would you? I mean,
they just look so committed to the cause and so in.
Yeah,
that's what gets me pretty excited about those two in particular.
Yeah.
Adam Chera.
We got to talk Adam Chera.
I don't want to talk Adam Chera re-signing. I think we've got to leave that.
No, it's because too much. I'm talking it. So that was his best game to date.
Just before you go ahead, and I don't know what you're going to say. Every game we win, why would he leave? He's got to stay. And then every game we lose, it's like, oh, he's going home.
No. I know all that. That's garbage, that is. But what I'm getting at is yesterday, I mean, he thrived on that responsibility, as we were talking about. And, you know, if any clubs were wondering, you know, whether the monster dollars were going to be worth it, they just got their answer plus some. What did he get? 33 disposals, 9 inside 50s, 8 marks, 6 tackles, 735 metres gained, Jojo. Second best in the league on the weekend behind 20 metres behind Jack Lukosius. It's time to stop messing around. I'm ringing John Elliott. Get John Elliott on the phone. Get a boatload of those brown paper bags. Relocate his extended family over here. Set them all up with $100,000 token marketing gigs, and he'll sign. That's what we should be doing.
What are you calling John Elliott for? He'd be at Carlton.
He did that at Carlton.
So you think he'll do it for us?
No, I want to use all those brown paper bags that he's got left over.
Well, they've got them as well through Visy Packaging, don't they?
That's right. So, yeah. So, we've got to go all out. We cannot. I know we keep saying it, but we cannot lose him. We just can't. It's just what you saw yesterday with those young guys and Darcy and Hayden Young. We cannot lose him. He's so valuable. It's not funny.
Yeah, I don't really want to talk about it anymore until we know.
I don't care. I'm talking about it.
Thought David Mundy, even though he probably took a back seat in proceedings, still had 29 touches. He gave great support to those guys. And I thought particularly when he needed to be there to put on some defensive pressure or be a body, he was right there when he needed to be. And he gave Brad Hardy a reminder of why he's going to be playing next year.
Yeah, that's right. And, you know, like for someone who's 36 years old, you know, and on that, you know, is David Mundy, David Mundy is 36 years of age. Is that's the new Nick Cox's 200 centimetres, JoJo. We hear that so often. You know, for Mundy to be doing the hard-nosed taxing stuff, I can't even process that. You know, 14 of his 29 touches were contested, and he still went at 80%. And he only played, 75% game time. It's crazy. He just keeps doing it, and you just keep thinking, how are you doing this? You know, it's amazing. And he was like the old head, you know, looking over, you know, the dad looking over the youngsters yesterday, wasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. Yeah. So and obviously he stepped in wherever he could, but it just seemed like he just was there whenever we needed him to be there.
Yep.
If that makes sense. Like he was just, I think, I forget, maybe it was on First Crack or whatever that show's on after the last game of the round or whatever it's called with Lee Montagna and David King.
Yeah.
They're talking about how it's statistically his second best season ever, which is incredible.
Isn't that amazing?
I didn't say which statistic, but I guess it's just like a broad-ranging average of all of them.
Yeah.
But, yeah, to be speaking about him in that way
at
his age And then you got people asking, well, all Freo fans know he should be getting another deal, but you got idiots in the press saying, oh, maybe he's not up for another year.
Yeah.
My God. It's incredible, isn't it?
Oh.
The other guy I thought that, you know, his general hardness around the contest, you know, really showed out yesterday was Caleb Sarong. Mm. He kicked the winning goal and didn't he love it? But I think he started off, he looked like he went straight to Cochin, yep. But then it looked as though, it wasn't a hard tag. He got a bit of freedom, got off the leash a little bit, had 20 touches. Yep. I thought he was really, really good.
The headband, Jojo, this 20-year-old kid, he just, now he's consistently putting games in like that, but especially yesterday. I'll guarantee you, he's got the words team orientated tattooed somewhere on him. He drove Cochin mad, you know, and probably inspired him. Cochin got off the chain as well, but first time Cochin had 30 disposals since round one 2019. But it was just that he absolutely drove him mad to the point of, I think he even gave away that 50-metre penalty there, Cochin did. So he's just the full package, Sarong. He can get in your face. He can get you, you know, off the ball. He's got it all, hasn't he?
Yeah, absolutely. And I spoke a little bit about it earlier, but I thought it's great to see Liam Henry get a change of role on the weekend. I thought he's been going stale, being plonked up forward, you know, for the last month and a bit. He hasn't really got around it after he had those games where he was really impactful.
Mm.
But how good to see him up on the wing. And I thought he played the wing really, really well. He got caught out of position a couple of times, but just seeing him offer that width and not getting drawn into the contest and
yep. Just
being that last guy on the chain.
Yeah.
You know, he could do that, and he could do that for Freo for a long time. He just needs a little bit, you know, bit more muscle on the bone. Yeah. But I thought his game, he showed us real glimpses of what he can do up the ground.
I was wondering, and it was that freedom that he got to be able to put his speed and skills to use, you know. He didn't have a huge game, as you said, but as you said, you can see it coming. It's what's coming.
Well, you can see where he got his possessions. He got 10 uncontested possessions.
Yep.
Playing on the wing.
Yep.
You know, he would have got 10 possessions that are kind of wide out in the flanks.
Yeah.
And, you know, a lot of our wing play, you know, we've had Akers, we've had Aish, Blakely's been there at times. These are guys that kind of just get sucked into the footy.
Yeah.
And it's so good to have someone play on a wing who actually tries to play the wing position as it needs to be played.
Yeah.
And I think we kind of benefited from that. It, you know, maybe didn't finish off his work at times, but got himself into positions to take the ball forward and deliver to the forward line. And that's the kind of thing that's going to help with our forward mid connection.
Yeah, that's right. But even on that, even saying that, right, about him being out on the wings, he applied 22 pressure acts. Now, I'm not 100% sure of exactly what they entail, but it's got to be quite substantial. He was the equal fourth highest in the team. So he's cracking in there too, Jojo, when he needs to.
And I think he spent 106 minutes on ground as well. So
yep.
I don't know if that's a career high, but it'd be right up there. So great to see him spending more time on the ground as well.
The next few years, Jojo, hang on to your wigs and keys. He's going to be, it's just too exciting.
Yeah, absolutely. Sean Darcy, I don't know, but he had a really good game, don't get me wrong, but I don't know. He just didn't seem as active as what he has been of late. And maybe that's because he's splitting the ruck time with Meek a bit now and going up forward. Still really good up forward. But, I don't think it was one of his better games of late.
He's struggling. Like, he is struggling. From the outset, he wasn't moving as freely as he usually does. And I watched him every time he went down.
You're holding him to it. It's not like he had a bad game. You're just holding him to a higher standard now.
Yeah, no, I'm not saying he had a bad game. I'm saying he's struggling with his injury that he's carrying. Like, if you watched him, whenever he went down on the ground, he was down a wall. It took him a while to get up, but he's fighting through it, and that's the pleasing aspect. He's really fighting through it, and some of those contested marks he clunked, that was so valuable, you know. And the other side is he was up against that hard combative Nankervis, you know, and he still managed 18 hitouts and 50% to advantage. You know, without being the
he wasn't shying away from the contact
from
Nankervis either. He bowled straight through him a couple of times in the center.
Yeah, no, his game was definitely not bad, but you can just see he's carrying that injury and but he's doing his best to work his way through it, and that's what's most pleasing, I think.
What about Lloyd Meek? I mean, this game we really did see you kind of a shared ruck role. Can we afford to play two rucks if you know you're only getting six touches and, you know, 9 hitouts and 1 shot on goal from Lloyd Meek? Mm. Is that enough, do you reckon? Or do you need him there as a target down the line? Or
I don't think he showed enough yesterday. I don't think he did his future any great favours.
Well, it's not, you know, it's justifying a second ruck in the 22, right?
Yeah.
Like, can you justify playing two rucks in the starting 22 is what I kind of mean.
Well, not on his output yesterday, I don't think. But what were the options, though? Who goes into the ruck?
Yeah, no, not many, but I mean, that was one of the questions coming into the start of the season, wasn't it?
Yeah.
Whether you could play Darcy and Meek in the same lineup when we didn't have Lobb in the team when Tracy was suspended or not selected or whatever it was at the start. So, yeah, I just thought, you know, they're obviously going to get a bit of an opportunity. I can't see Meek getting dropped after that game. So, we're going to see a little bit of the tandem. So, it'll be interesting to see if they can work it out.
Well, you got it, don't you? I mean, it not necessarily worked, but we got the win and Darcy can't go a full game in the ruck at the moment, and there's no one else to help him, so Meek's got to stay.
The skills around the ground were pretty poor. There was quite a few missed kicks, missed marks. One thing that Dockers did springs to mind is, I don't even know, it might have been Brayshaw, I can't remember who it was. They were chasing the ball out in the back pocket, and the ball just rebounded up off their foot and went out of bounds on the full.
There was too.
You know, it was quite a fumbly kind of game.
Yeah.
We were at the ground and sitting on that middle level, it didn't seem like there was a huge wind, but we were assured there was a swirly breeze and it's difficult down there.
You're behind the glass.
Do you think you can blame...
You're behind the glass. How would you know if it was windy?
We're out in the elements. Do you reckon you can blame the conditions exclusively, or is there pressure that can blame? Or
look, maybe the conditions were partly to blame, but I mean, they're not all Hayden Youngs, JoJo. But there might be something in it, because if you look at the players who predominantly kick the ball, like Chera, 21 kicks, went at 63%. He was below his best. Luke Ryan, 26 kicks, well down at 59% disposal efficiency. You know, Cochin, 16 kicks, 53%. Jaden Short was probably the only one that was around about near his mark. So when you look at that, and I know it was
some of those percentages are a bit off. Like, I think an effective kick can be a 50-meter kick down the field, and it doesn't matter where it goes. Because Jaden Short didn't play that well, I don't think. He had 27 touches, and 22 of them were kicks. But
a lot
of those kicks were just
Is that right? Is that how they judge it? I'd like to know that, actually.
It's something like that.
Right, okay.
Jaden Short, he was good. He provided run from the back line, but I thought he'd turn the ball over a ton.
Right. So then, but then we thought Ryan had a good game. And he's down at 59 when he's usually up around 80.
Yeah, no, I'm just saying the measure itself is maybe a little flawed. But do you not think that Ryan had a good game?
Yeah, I do. But I was trying to link something for the horrible skills. So is it the conditions? Is it what? I don't know. But they're not those guys.
Like someone who used the ball well. The person who probably used the ball best on ground was probably Sydney Stack.
Yeah, he did too, didn't he?
And he's pretty silky with his skills. So, I don't know. Obviously, the win was a factor.
Yeah.
And then you look at the goal kicking. There's 28 behinds kicked between the two teams. Like, that's a pretty extraordinary number. But then you think about some of the behinds that were kicked. You know, Tom Lynch has got a punch up for kind of missing the ones that are right in front. He missed the one from like 20 metres out straight in front. Tabs missed one in the first quarter that he'd miss every week, but really should be kicking.
It was so bizarre. You honestly can't begin to explain it. Like, how do those two teams kick 28 points between them?
I just think there's more to it than just the conditions, because you can't miss some of the shots that both teams missed.
If a COVID variant, JoJo, ever spreads as fast as goal kickitis did yesterday, we haven't got a prayer. We just pack it up. It was amazing. Now,
the highlight of the game, or, you know, at least the one that would be played on repeat on news channels last night and tonight, was Schultz's mark. It was pretty special. He can run back with the flight.
Huge.
He ends up almost having his back to the ball, sticks his arms out there and it sticks.
I reckon he...
Was it accidental or was it mark of the year?
Oh, accidental. No. I reckon he got up there. Then he was at that high. He'd become sort of aware of the predicament he was in, remembering... You know, what goes up must come down. And I reckon he lost focus, the ball fell in his arms. But it's
so, he wasn't even looking at it for the, you know, the last 5 meters of its journey.
He wasn't, was he? But he hang on. It's hard to take.
It was reminiscent of who was that? Fatty Vorton, and when he took that catch out on the boundary line, celebrity charity match.
That was good.
Just stuck his big mitt out there.
Yeah, that was good. But it's hard to take an accidental mark when you're up that high.
He's awesome. Awesome commitment running back into that pack of players as well.
He's fearless, man. He is so fearless, Schultze. He's unbelievable.
Yeah. So yeah, that was awesome, and the crowd went off. Really good crowd on the weekend as well. Like, wasn't super super full. I don't know exactly the numbers, but good vibe and great energy. Tabs kicked 3 goals. There was that really, really good snap from the left pocket on his left foot, which I don't no idea how he managed to get that through.
Yeah,
like
me neither.
That ball should be bending the other way. It's so weird.
I wasn't a fan of it.
That was crazy. You weren't a fan of it. Why? You know, that was the most Dockery green jumper bit of play of the day, almost.
No, I wasn't a fan. Put me out.
He had no right to kick that goal.
It put me out of the ultimate footy challenge. Our ultimate footy challenge cup finals, JoJo. I missed the finals because of that goal.
Yeah, but what are you doing? You're scraping into sixth. You're not doing any damage. I wouldn't worry. But I thought Tabs was pretty good. If he had to kick that one from straight in front, he's got 4. Good return from him. Tracy was pretty quiet. His defensive pressure was good, I thought.
Yeah, he seemed to.
But probably needs to present and get used a little bit more by the mids.
I was going to ask you, did he lose his way a bit, or his structure, or was he being overlooked? I couldn't sort of get to. He just didn't seem to be able to get into it.
I think there was a kind of combined into the way we played and how we moved the ball going forward, I think.
Yeah.
It was like they were trying to encourage the guys to lower the eyes and look for shorter targets in the first part of the game. Mm. And, you know, that didn't work out for him. And then following that, it was just going bombed long to the square.
Yeah.
We just seemed to be going really, really long. And I don't know that either strategy really worked out that well for us in terms of, you know, getting really good scoring shots. And, you know, maybe you could argue against that considering we hit the scoreboard 20 times. But, yeah, I don't know. I thought we could have been a bit smarter again with the way we used the ball inside 50.
Yeah. Yeah, it was yeah, he's just gotten lost a couple of times, Tracy, the last couple of games. Or has he been, you know, overlooked? I don't know. But they got to get that right.
I think the thing with him is, though, like, he still works.
What?
Like, he only got 6 touches. You know, he only got one tackle, he didn't lay a tackle, but, you know, there was plenty of defensive pressure that even didn't result in a tackle. There's plenty of effort and energy.
Career best.
He's still putting in.
Career best 20 pressure extra. He's busting his hump. He is.
Yeah.
Yeah. So he's not a passenger by any stretch.
The smalls, you know, we had Saul Weston. I thought he did a pretty good job and was pretty active, especially without the ball.
Yep.
Schultze obviously took that mark, but kicked 2 goals. So good game from him. Croydon, I don't know. He got a little bit more of the footy than the other guys, but I'm not sure about that. And who was the other one that played small? Oh, we had Banfield. Unfortunately, he got concussed, but he wasn't doing too much before that.
I don't know how he's classed as a small forward.
Well, he's not a small forward. I was just looking at the other guys that played.
But that's
how
you think of him. That's like, I've always
I don't reckon I do. I'm thinking when he's in the forward line, I just think of him as a defensive forward. I just think who's their attacking halfback is going to go and stand them.
190 centimetres. It just doesn't seem that tall. But,
yeah.
Yeah, but anyway. You know, Crowden. You know, I'm going to give Crowden some credit here. Talking about, you know, didn't get a lot of the ball, but equal with Brayshaw on the pressure tally. 30. Career high.
Yeah.
You know, so you've got to give him some credit there, Jota. He's contributing even when he's not, if that makes sense.
Yeah, true. No, 100%. Mm. And that, you know, the forwards did. Their pressure was much better as a collective this week. But I still think on the offensive side of the ball, we need more. Like, we need...
Oh, definitely.
I don't know. And that's where we're kind of lacking on that side of it.
So,
and that, you know, and that's why we get the result on the weekend, because we did still have that, you know, engagement from the forward line applying that pressure and making it really difficult for Richmond to transition the footy.
This is interesting, right? So you're talking about we need more offensive offering from him. Like Lockie Schultz, right? He's kicked 20 goals now this year. Okay. Crowden, him and Crowden, they're just... I don't know. Are you honestly, do you think any of either of them cut it? Are they long term?
Well, I think I've kind of already said what I think about Schultz. I think he's a really good player. I think he's a really good depth player.
You flip-flopped.
I don't think he's a best 22 player if you're contending. Yeah. I think he's a player that comes in when someone's injured. Like maybe he's a best 30 player, yeah. Best 25 player.
Gotcha. Because look at this.
I think Croden's probably struggling a little bit, yeah, to hang on.
Because look at this, right? Schultz, he's played not 42 games. He's going under a goal a game. Crowden's played 37 games under half a goal a game. You know, now I know these next two players are pretty decent players, but Tom Papley, his first 40 games, he went at 1.5 goals. Liam Ryan's 37 games, 1.5 goals a game. That's the level you've got to be. You're probably spot on. They're just off that mark, aren't they?
And it probably goes into a little bit of what their role is within the team and, you know, what's important from them on a weekly basis, but we need to score.
We need
something going on in the forward line. And, you know, if we don't have like a big key forward that's going to kick 3-4, you know, 3.5 goals a week, we need an even contribution. And it needs to come from all these guys every week. Yeah. It can't be once every month.
Yep.
So
I'm with you.
Yeah, that's just what I think. I'm not knocking the guys. I mean, they put in a really strong effort. And, you know, like I say, it's why we were in the game. It's probably why we got over the line, that, you know, defensive effort. We just shut Richmond down and made their life, you know, almost impossible.
Mm.
So credit to them. Yeah. But, we got to score. Speaking about defensive effort, I thought the back line was super strong all day. And, you know, we spoke about Luke Ryan, you know, leading the charge from down there, you know, the quarterback, the general, whatever you want to call him. But I thought the other, you know, other guys, Logue in particular, was really strong down back.
Logue was outstanding. Yeah, you know, Walker showed his bit. But just going back to Luke Ryan, he was back to his All-Australian best, Joe, spectacular. And especially when he rolled out his Manning the Mark antics again. Did you see that?
I didn't see that. You were really high on it. You keep a close eye on that.
I love that. Fourth quarter, he absolutely stooged Jack Riewoldt. And Riewoldt was only 30 metres out and he kicked it. Nearly. It didn't even make the distance, I think. He's still going at 100%, Luke Ryan, when he does that. He should go and chat to AJ Tai from the Scorchers, Jojo. Just all these concoctions, new things, just extra strings to his bow. You don't want to become predictable in your manning the mark antics, because that's when opposition sides will work you out. So go and have a chat to AJ Tai, Lukey Ryan. Walker, Jojo, showing enough to say there's something there. He's going to take time, but he looks good when he's out in space, Jojo. He looks like he's very comfortable when he gets the ball and he's out on space. Looks like he's out, you know, walking his dog. So,
yeah. He does look good when he's got ball in hand, and when he's in the play, he does look good. But I'll tell you what, he's lucky his name's not Reece Conker, because if he's Reece Conker and he's getting 5 touches, he's probably getting told he's going back to Peel to find the footy a little bit more, isn't he?
It's a very good point, that. A very good point. So,
but I'm happy to see him in the team. I think he's growing.
Yeah.
You know, not everyone can have 20, 25 touches coming out of the back line. Someone has to defend. Someone has to provide width and depth and, you know, be a player to be selfless for the team. And I think he did a pretty good job on the weekend.
And Griffin Logue, he was awesome.
Yeah. Yeah, he was really, really good. I think we still could do with a Pierce in the team. I think that, you know, we do have an Alex Pierce-sized hole in that back line.
Oh, for sure.
But, you know, Logue held strong. Hopefully, we get Pierce back next week. Yeah. As I said off the top, you know, Wilson, I don't want to knock him too much because I don't think he had a bad game, but I'm just not a fan of the way he uses the footy coming out of the back line, and in particular, kicking out from behind.
Yeah.
I think sometimes it just looks like he doesn't have a plan, and he'll step out of the box, and he'll go one way, and then he'll come back the other, and then it's just a long hoof. And then, you know, if we get on the end of it, great. If we don't, well, it's 70 metres away. That's the kind of attitude. I just like to see a little bit more finesse and a little bit more of a thought process being put behind the, you know, when you're disposing the ball outside 50 rather than just banging it. There's a time to bang it, and we didn't do that in the last 2 minutes. We were doing these little chip passes and hand passes and getting repeat stoppages in our defensive 50. So there is a time to just kick long outside 50. But I think when you've got time and you've got you know, movement ahead of you, we've got to be better at picking out a good option.
Do you know, yeah, I think you're absolutely spot on. And we've been reasonably critical of Nathan Wilson in the past, and we've copped some heat for it. But I think yesterday anyone that was, you know, sticking up for Nathan Wilson, which is good on you. And as you said, we're not, don't not like him. It's just the way he uses the ball and whatnot. When you see the benefit of a Hayden Young and his ability to put players into space, as we spoke about, and deliver it to them, you know, without breaking stride, that's why we haven't been sold on Willow. He can't do that, you know. And when you've got someone who can, then you see the difference, don't you?
Yeah, no, I think so. And
that's what you mean.
I don't know. Wilson's had some really good. He's had some really good games this year. He's, even though for a defender, he's not huge on defending, but he is valuable with his run and breaking the line and getting the ball going when we're on the break. But I think it's more about for him and for the team, like him picking and choosing the moments that he does that and just getting it right rather than doing it, you know, 8 times out of 10 when he grabs the footy. Yeah. That's all.
Well, I don't know what he was doing when he completely missed that spoil in the goal square, Jado. He fell over or something before the ball got to him. I don't know what was going on there. It was a costly goal, but he's had a reasonable year. We're not going to be completely putting the sword into him.
Mate, we gave up a couple of really shocking goals. How was that one that, was it Mansell kicked from about 70 or 80 metres out? It must have bounced and rolled about 30 metres. No one touched it and just runs through for a goal.
It's retro round.
That was unbelievable. Huh?
It's retro round. Yeah, got to let a couple of-
My God.
Okay, that's our, that's nostalgic. That's,
that was ridiculous.
It really was.
The other one that we almost gave up, I think whoever tackled him missed it. Connor Blakely came on in the second quarter when Bamfield was concussed and went off.
Yep.
I didn't mind Connor Blakely's game in the end. I think, what do you have, 17 touches? He definitely wasn't our worst player, and he really put in a strong effort. And I think at the moment for him, he's almost like he's playing like he doesn't want to make a mistake. But then when in that, I think it was the last quarter when he should give first option to Liam Henry, the hand pass. He ends up getting done holding the ball from about 20 metres out.
Yeah.
That was a horrible mistake.
There was a couple
That's a really horrible mistake.
Look, if we had a sponsor, JoJo, he'd be in the running for Butcher of the Week award. He really would. I don't think anybody externally saw anything yesterday that would suggest there's going to be interest in him at the end of the year.
Do you reckon, yesterday he was no way our worst player.
No, he wasn't. He definitely wasn't. But he's still not what you need.
No. I'd still like to see him not be the medical sub. I'd still like to see him get a run. I reckon he can play.
Give him a full.
At least in these last few games.
But if you bring him in, right, and you want to play him in the mid, who this is the Walters argument. Who comes out?
Well, he can play. He should just have to play on a wing. He played on a wing for a bit on the weekend and did all right.
Yeah.
And he can pinch hit in the middle.
Yeah.
I don't know. I just can't, you know, after having the thought, just like a light bulb moment of what are we doing with this guy?
Yeah.
We've had him under contract. We signed him with this 4-year deal. JL's been here for what? This is his second year now. Yeah. And, you know, we just resigned to he's not my kind of player. And he's under contract for another year. I just can't bear to think of doing this again for another year. It just seems such like a waste of time and waste of everyone's money and resources
and
energy.
Kind of does feel like
anyway, whatever. We're going to be doing it next year, so that's fine.
Poor bugger.
The guy we didn't talk about who did all right up forward, I thought, was Travis Collier. The man sitting behind me, I think he's a Richmond supporter, was calling him the Rat. And I think that was a pretty good description because he just like bobbed up and grabbed the ball. And he was so quick on the weekend. It seemed like he we always knew he was fast, but he seemed like he gained a yard of space, pace.
Yeah, he did, didn't he?
He had a couple of moments where he really grabbed the ball and just took off. Kicked 1-3, so a little bit wasteful. But
why did he kick 1-3?
Liked his energy up forward.
1-3 did he kick?
Yeah.
Far out. But yeah, he did bring good energy. You're right. But this is the problem with the Collie that this is what he does sporadically. You know, like.
And I think the other thing, like, was kind of hinted at before without saying it, you know, you've got your Colliers, Croden, Schultz, you know, and even Weston, even though he's only a youngster. All these guys are just on the same level.
Yeah.
And you can probably have one or two of them in the team, but he's like, you have four and it's too many.
Yep.
You need someone to jump out.
Yes.
Jump up.
Yep. That's right.
So final thoughts on the game. You know, Frio faith will have to be pretty wrapped with this. I don't think, you know, maybe earlier in the week when Richmond's outs kind of got highlighted and, you know, we knew the weather was coming, so that's going to kind of bring everyone a bit closer. You're a little bit more optimistic, but I don't think a month ago anyone saw us winning this game of footy.
No, I don't think so, but you know what I took out of it? I mean, when you look at what happened yesterday, okay, and then you look at this is what I was talking about earlier, got a group of players. Okay, look at this, Rob. We've got Alex Pearce. He's 26 years old. Okay, so far he's standing up to the riggers. We probably thought he wouldn't. Griffin Lowe, sensational. He's 23. Luke Ryan, 26. Tab's 28. Tracy's only 20. Shows great promise. Then you go to Young, 20. Sarong, 20. Brayshaw, 22. Chera, it's vital he stays, 22. Henry, 20. That is amazing crop of players that if we can sort the wings out, Jojo, and get a cohesive structure up forward and bring some more, you know, forward pressure and goal-kicking accuracy. You know, we've got a Sturt and a Chapman as well sitting in the wings. I took that out yesterday after that game, and I'm like, this is a serious side. If we just get a couple of things right in the near future, we can turn this on pretty quickly. But they're at the right age group, all that. You know, for 3 or 4 years' time, they're going to be smack-bang right in the middle of a whole good group of players.
Yeah, we just need to keep adding through the draft, yeah. I think. Like, you know, only trading where absolutely necessary or someone in the right age bracket really wants to come and we really want them. But otherwise, I think we just keep hitting the draft.
But it's not the point I was making is that how long since we've had this number of really, really genuine players at this age? You know? I can't remember.
Well, traditionally, we don't go to the draft.
No, that's right.
Traditionally, we trade away the pick that's used on Luke Hodge to bring over Trent Croad.
Yeah. That worked. That still worked. I'm a Crowdy fan.
No, but that's what we do, though, right?
We have done that.
We traded a really high pick from memory for Adrian Fletcher, I think. Yeah. Like, we traded a high pick for, you know, anyone that's come over, pretty much, we've overpaid in terms of draft capital for.
And
it doesn't seem like Belly is too keen on doing that anymore.
And that was the only thing that didn't make sense in retro round. We had all these young high-end draft picks. That didn't make sense to me. How good is it?
So we start to look at the run home now. Got Brisbane next week.
Yep.
Another 3 o'clock Sunday game. Then we've got West Coast in a home derby, I think. And then St Kilda at home as well. So, you know, we get a good month at home. How far can we go? That St Kilda game is at home. I didn't get that wrong, did I? Can we win all three?
Yeah, I mean, you'd like to think so. But the odds of that happening is...
Oh, no, that last St Kilda game is away.
Yeah, yeah.
So it's in Melbourne.
The Brisbane game's going to be, I mean, straight up. They're going to be absolutely filthy. How did they get run down by the Hawks?
They're not travelling well, though, and they haven't been going well probably for 3-4 weeks.
No, they haven't. Yeah, I mean, it's possible. In the form that our opponents are in, not necessarily how well we're travelling, but it's possible. GWS have got Geelong, Richmond and Carlton. If they win two of those games, they go to 42 points. That would mean, what are we on, 40 now? What are we on, 36? Are we on 36?
Yeah, so if we pick up two and they pick up two, we're still ahead of them.
Right, okay.
And we can make up a game on West Coast by beating them. And they've got Melbourne and Brisbane either side of us.
Yeah.
So you can't see them getting over Melbourne this week.
No. No, they won't get over Melbourne. They probably won't get over Brisbane. So, yeah, it's a lot more alive than it was 8 days ago, ten days ago, whenever it was.
Yeah.
You know?
And then you think week one of the finals, you're setting yourself up with a possible meeting of one of Brisbane, Sydney or Port if you finish in eighth. Or even seventh. So, yep. Like, you wouldn't be super confident of that, but you'd love the experience the guys got. And I suppose that begs the question, if you do get that far, and then a Michael Walters is fit with his hamstring, Andrea Roll, and, you know, maybe Rory Lobb's back at some point. This is a hypothetical, of course. Mm. Do you pick him in the side, or do you roll with who's been going for the last 2-3 weeks?
I'm playing the youngsters, but I'm bringing in Sonny Showtime Walters, Jojo. You don't sideline. You don't sideline Sonny from your final side. That's just crazy talk. Either way,
no, I'm saying like if we make the finals, it's going to mean at least winning two out of those last three games.
Yeah.
So these players coming in are going to have to replace someone that's obviously been fulfilling a role and doing it pretty effectively for us to win two of the last three games.
I'm finding a spot.
I just think it's an interesting question.
It is. You're going to find a spot. But how good, like, you know, like all year, I mean, for us, probably on our own, we haven't been focused on finals and it hasn't been highly important. But thinking about it now and where we're at, and if we did go in with those youngsters, the experience and the growth they would get out of that, geez, it'd be a good forum.
I think so.
Two wins, Jojo. Two wins, we need it.
Had a little bit of interaction on the socials this week.
Mm.
I think your mate JC got stuck into me for the anchor call and the rock call. He didn't like any of that. He likes all the new rock, stuff, which is fine.
The rock. He didn't like the rock.
I think, I think this kind of speaks to a little bit of the way a few Freo fans feel. You know, when we brought in these new jumpers, you know, we had Ross Lyon and Ross Itch. We had this new aura of professionalism. We're going to go our way, you know, go about things a little bit differently from now on. We're ruthless. We're this.
Yep.
And I think that's fine. Like, I think everyone loved that.
Mm.
I know I certainly did.
Mm.
You know, when we went and, you know, pinched Ross Lyon from under the nose of St Kilda and every other Victorian club, I thought, you know, this is great. This is the best thing that's ever happened. But I don't think the two have to be mutually exclusive. I think that you can embrace the heritage and love the anchor and love all the crap that we used to carry on with back in the day while still respecting the present,
yep.
Can't you?
I agree. I totally agree with you. Except that 3D jumper, that was a disgrace. Everything else I'm with
you. You know that's going to be back one year in retro round.
It can't be. They will not bring that back. It won't sell. They won't bring that back.
Do you know, I was watching 360 tonight. I think it was tonight. And Jason Dunster was on there talking about the Dockers and saying he loved everything about the game except for our jumper. This is a man that comes from Hawthorn ilk who had that ridiculous jumper with gold on it.
Yes.
It's like, I don't think you're in any position to be criticising our jumper, mate.
No. And he wore the helmet.
That jumper was clearly the worst jumper in football history.
Yeah, it was. And he had the helmet that squashed his face up. So he shouldn't go throwing stones. No, there's no way. I'm still, you know, as we said last week, I like the purple jumper with the three white stripes, but that jumper on the weekend grew on me.
I think it's a novelty. I think you get sick of it if it's every week. I think it's great to bring it back.
That's
true. Yep. It's great. And because we've got that different kind of heritage, we've got that, I don't know, it's kind of goofy in a way.
Yep.
The anchor, that you know, and it was on the jumper and the colour mix.
Yep.
I think it's a great thing to kind of roll back to, and it's nostalgic for everyone who's followed Freo for a long time.
Yep.
But you don't need to do it every week.
No.
I reckon once or twice a year is fine.
Yeah.
Probably only once. But everyone loves it. Everyone gets it. No, but everyone gets around it. You lose the effect if you do these things
too
definitely,
much. Definitely.
So I think
the novelty wears off.
Sunday's game was great. Everyone enjoyed it.
Mm.
Everything about it. So you roll that out every year and you do slight alterations to it.
Yeah, I'm with you.
I think
I'm with you.
You got to continue to embrace that first, you know, 15, 20 years of the club, whatever it was, where we did have that jumper and we did market ourselves in that way because it spoke to who we were.
Yeah, it does. It does. And it's better. Those times are even better now looking back because nostalgia's like that. So but you're right. You do got to embrace that. And, you know, we do, right?
We can't erase history. You can't just pretend that didn't happen.
No, we're not in the
because
US.
It's not going away.
You can't just rewrite history. No, we were there. That was us. You know, and we do, and I still love it. I still love those days, you know. So I love it when they show one of those old games on Foxtel, you know, with Andrew Wills or someone like that in our team. You know, it's just, you got to embrace it.
We had more of a comment than a question from Joel Varro of CIR Doors fame. He thought these boys today showed the footy world that they can take the heat and stand up and grind out a win. I love they all bought and stood up today. I think that kind of thought resonates with the whole Fremantle Docker fan base.
Does, doesn't it? It does. The doorman, he's a good bloke, Joey. I'm with him. I'm with him on that. What's the he sends in a bit regularly, Jojo. He gets involved.
He's got a question for you if you want it. He wants to know, do you delist Conker and Akers because they don't have a they don't have an in them as players that we're what we expect week in, week out, or do we continue to play them? Also, is there anyone you would delist? I think the Akers one not playing now, it's hard to see him breaking back into this side for the rest of the season, which is a real issue for him.
Yeah, Akers
and Conker, I would say, is as good as gone.
Yeah, Conker's he can't be, he's gone. But Akers has got another year.
Yeah, no, but I mean, like much like the Connor Blakely situation, Akers has got to do something to make a material change to his game.
Definitely.
Otherwise, his AFL future's in serious doubt.
No jeopardy, isn't it? Yeah, it's. I guess this kind of question is a separate podcast, isn't it? On its own. But off the top of my head, maybe Mitch Crowden. Sorry, Mitchy. Sorry, Mitchy, but maybe Mitch Crowden. But I we'd have to sit down and go right through it.
I agree. It's the wrong time of year to have delisting conversations.
It really is, isn't it?
It's the time of year when you want to. No. But this is the time of year for us now when guys get an opportunity to just put their hand up and say, no, this is what I can do and this is why you should keep me.
Yeah.
So I think these last three games and then the first final, if we play it, you know, you sit down and you look at the season as a whole, not as like the first bit.
Yep.
Give everyone the full 23 rounds, 22 games. Yeah. To, and then sort it out at the end.
It then. Yeah, right.
But we do have probably a few that we could cut loose. Mm. Jason and Lisa McMerrin wanted to say, what do you reckon? Mundy is a male Mary Poppins. Perfectly perfect in every way. Disposal perfectionist.
I like that.
A male Mary Poppins.
Mary Poppins Mundy. Is that his new name? Poppins.
Poppins.
Poppins. What was it? So it was... What did he say? Perfect in every way.
Yeah,
I like that. I don't know if David Mundy like that, but I like that. Mary Poppins.
He's got more nicknames than anyone these days. Benjamin Button.
He's
rolling a new nickname for him out every week.
Yeah, they do, don't they? Pensioner.
Right. This week we get our makeup game against Brisbane. I look forward to going to two games back to back. 3 o'clock games. What a great time slot that is. You can take the kids.
Yep.
Go out and get dinner afterwards. What a great... tell you what, we're really nervous going on Sunday.
Why?
Because it's a fairly decent walk getting in the Uber and then walking across that bridge, you know, with the wind kicking up and the rain coming in.
Oh.
But...
What? You told me before we went on air, you park underneath. You told me you park underneath the stadium.
That's not true. That's not
true. Then you get the lift up to the air-conditioned room.
You don't want this conversation, even though you think you... you don't.
No, I probably don't.
Do you have anything else before we close it off?
No, that's about it, mate. We've gone a long time. We'll forego the neighbourhood watch. We'll have a look at it next week.
So Brisbane on Sunday, and we'll do a preview pod on Thursday. But until then, are you still down with the restump?
Oh, nostalgia is the sandpaper that removes the rough edges from the good old days.
Start wearing purple, wearing purple. Start wearing purple for me now. All your sanity and wits, they will all vanish. I promise, it's just a matter of time. So, yeah.